Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Paul Johnson's. Intellectuals is a sharply argued work of cultural history that examines how celebrated thinkers have shaped modern public life and why their personal conduct and practical judgment often fail to match their moral authority. Moving from the 19th century into the 20th, Johnson profiles a gallery of influential writers and theorists, including figures such as Marx, Tolstoy, Sartre, and Chomsky, treating them less as untouchable geniuses and more as human beings whose ambitions, habits, relationships, and blind spots mattered. The book's central idea is that modern society increasingly granted intellectuals a kind of secular priesthood, asking them to pronounce on politics, ethics, and human nature. Johnson writes as a skeptic of ideological glamour, aiming to puncture reputations built on grand systems and rhetorical certainty. The result is an accessible, provocative invitation to reconsider how ideas gain authority and what it should take to trust the people who sell them. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the rise of the intellectual as a modern moral authority. A key theme is the historical shift that elevated writers and theorists into public arbiters and theorists into public arbiters of right and wrong. Johnson presents the intellectual not merely as a specialist, but as a figure expected to deliver comprehensive answers about society, justice, and progress. In this portrait, the modern age replaces older sources of moral guidance with a new class of secular counselors whose influence rests on fame, rhetorical power, and an aura of genius. The book encourages readers to ask how this authority is constructed, through salons, publishers, universities, political movements, and a public hungry for simplified frameworks. Johnson's approach also highlights the temptation to confuse verbal brilliance with practical wisdom. A thinker may diagnose social ills with memorable force while lacking the discipline, empathy, or competence needed to implement solutions. This theme matters because it reframes intellectual history as a story about status and incentives. When a culture rewards sweeping pronouncements, it can also reward overconfidence, ideological rigidity, and moral exemption. By tracking how renowned figures became trusted guides, the book invites a more demanding standard for credibility, one that weighs evidence, accountability, and real-world results alongside eloquence. Secondly, private lives, public theories, and the problem of hypocrisy. Johnson repeatedly links personal behavior to public teaching, arguing that character and daily choices often reveal whether a thinker truly understands human nature. The book does not claim that moral flaws automatically invalidate every idea, but it does suggest that patterns of manipulation, irresponsibility, or cruelty can undermine a person's claim to ethical leadership. This is where the portraits become most controversial. Celebrated advocates of justice, equality, or compassion are examined for how they treated spouses, friends, patrons, colleagues, and the vulnerable people around them. Johnson uses biography as a test of consistency, asking whether lofty principles survive contact with money, power, sex, pride, and resentment. The larger issue is how audiences respond to hypocrisy. Intellectual celebrity can create a protective halo in which followers excuse misconduct as eccentricity or the price of genius. Johnson challenges that reflex and urges readers to treat personal conduct as relevant evidence when assessing moral authority. The theme also warns against the allure of abstract systems that excuse real harm. When ideas are detached from everyday responsibility, it becomes easier for thinkers and their admirers to rationalize bad actions as historically necessary or philosophically justified. Thirdly, ideology, utopian promises, and the costs of grand designs. Another central topic is the danger of theories that claim to explain everything and fix everything. Johnson portrays a recurring pattern. An intellectual proposes a comprehensive model of history or society, frames opponents as ignorant or corrupt, and promises liberation through a decisive break with existing institutions. The attraction is obvious, especially in times of inequality or upheaval. But the book emphasizes how such designs can ignore the complexity of human motivations and the stubborn constraints of reality. Johnson's skepticism targets the way ideological certainty can justify coercion. When a theory is treated as a moral shortcut, dissent becomes not merely disagreement but heresy, and ordinary ethical limits can be suspended in the name of progress. The book invites readers to weigh ideals against implementation. Who pays the price when a blueprint fails, the theorist or the public? Johnson also highlights how utopian rhetoric can conceal ordinary appetites for influence and admiration. In this reading, the grand system becomes both a political program and a personal career strategy. The broader lesson is to approach totalizing explanations with caution, to demand humility and empirical checks, and to remember that good ends do not guarantee good means. Fourthly, political engagement, propaganda, and the seduction of power. intellectuals often present themselves as critics of power, yet the book shows how many are drawn toward power or proximity to it. Johnson explores how public thinkers can become courted by movements, parties, and regimes that want cultural legitimacy. The intellectual then faces a choice: maintain independence and risk irrelevance, or align with a cause and gain a larger platform. The portraits illuminate how easily engagement slides into apologetics, where inconvenient facts are minimized and opponents are caricatured. Johnson treats the rhetoric of moral urgency as a common tool in this process. When a thinker declares that history is at a turning point, any compromise can be framed as cowardice, and any criticism as betrayal. This dynamic matters because intellectuals can function as amplifiers, translating political interests into noble language that persuades educated audiences. Johnson also highlights the role of media and public performance. Essays, lectures, interviews, and debates become stages where certainty is rewarded and nuance punished. The theme ultimately asks readers to distinguish critique from propaganda and to notice when a thinker becomes emotionally or socially invested in being right, being celebrated, or being on the winning side. Lastly, how to read famous thinkers with healthy skepticism. Beyond individual biographies, the book offers an implicit method for readers to evaluate intellectual influence with the same rigor used for other sources of authority. Johnson's portraits suggest practical questions. What incentives shape this thinker's claims? Fame, money, resentment, ideology, or genuine inquiry? Does the thinker revise beliefs when confronted with evidence, or double down with moral condemnation? Are predictions and prescriptions checked against outcomes, or protected by excuses? Another part of the method is comparative reading. Johnson encourages seeing celebrated figures alongside their critics, rivals, and the historical record, rather than accepting a single canonical narrative. The book also promotes humility about human nature. If even brilliant minds can rationalize self-interest, then readers should expect bias and self-deception and should build habits of verification. This skepticism is not mere cynicism. The goal is to preserve the value of ideas while refusing to treat their authors as saints. Readers are prompted to separate insights from authority, arguments from charisma, and moral language from moral conduct. In that sense, the book functions as a guide to intellectual self-defense, helping readers become more discerning consumers of big theories and public pronouncements. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in intellectual history, modern politics, and the way cultural authority is built. It will also appeal to anyone who has felt uneasy about how certain celebrated thinkers are treated as unquestionable guides on ethics and social policy. Johnson offers a bracing reminder that brilliance in writing or theory does not automatically translate into wisdom, compassion, or competence. By connecting ideas to lived behavior and real-world consequences, the book can benefit a reader's life in practical ways. It strengthens critical thinking, improves media literacy, and encourages a more careful approach to persuasion, celebrity, and ideology. It helps readers evaluate leaders and commentators by track record and accountability, rather than by confidence and acclaim. Compared to many books that either idolize famous intellectuals or dismiss them with shallow polemics, Johnson provides a narrative that is readable, specific, and argumentative, using biography to keep abstract debates grounded. Even when a reader disagrees with his judgments, the book remains worth buying because it provokes better questions about trust, evidence, and moral authority. It is a strong companion to more sympathetic intellectual biographies, balancing the shelf with a perspective that insists reputations must be earned, not inherited. If you would like to support Paul Johnson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.